Hello, welcome to Game Changer. Monday through Friday, David Villa and our crew dive into God's Word and talk about how to take principles from the Bible and apply them to our daily lives. Thanks so much for listening, and here's our host.
All right, so if I find out that they are pregnant through this version, that would be pretty cool.
From a podcast intro, Dave finds out.
From a podcast intro. And if you're listening via audio, you're like, what did he just mean by the opening of that? Good morning. Welcome to day five. I'm actually all by myself here. Actually, I'm not. I've got Ez and Mike. It's just the three of us. It's kind of back to the roots.
Yo, yo.
What's up, yo?
The roots of the cast and how we started things. But Ashton and Matthias are at a conference out of town that they had scheduled for months. And Diana's out today, and so we have just us guys. But we're gonna be wrapping up the truth series, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been different. It's been very unique, and you know, it really is. It's cool because the truth being defined as, you know, just one of them, it's given us so much really to talk about, even though it seems like it would be very simple. And appreciate Josh doing it on Wednesday. He brought a great word, and of course, girl power yesterday. So we're going to try to wrap it up. And I will say this, you know, I was talking to some folks in several scenarios of the last couple of days, and even last night, people close to me, just different conversations and different people, and it came up in multiple ways, you know. And it seems like, you know, and even this morning I received a text back on several group texts that I initiate in the morning, just several different facets of life and leadership and people and salespeople and what have you. And I got just a text back, you know, from one of the passages I sent, and somebody just said, I needed that. And even that in itself confirms what I'm getting ready to say. You know, sometimes, you know, people and circumstances can cloud our perspective to the place and to the point where it begins to cloud the truth, meaning that you know, we can't see clearly, or somebody, maybe that's a situation, or maybe somebody, like a person, you know, might let us down, or, you know, we put you know, we see something questionable in a leader, and then we question the validity or the truth of something that we've been taught or something that we've understood. And so, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with questioning. Can I just say this? The enemy would try to condemn you with, you know, telling you shouldn't question, but there's nothing wrong with questioning. And the reality is the Bible said, listen to what the Bible says about questioning. He says, ask and what you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. So the I would say to the contrary, when the enemy tries to condemn you for questioning, you know, something that you know to be the truth, but circumstances, individuals, whatever is clouding your perception has caused you to possibly doubt, but certainly question. And I would say this, you're normal. And you know what? God's not nervous by that. And if you ask, you'll receive. And that's what's really cool. And it doesn't have to come through the way the person, the individual, the circumstance that you thought. It can come through a variety of ways. I mean, you know, God spoke to people in multiple ways throughout the Word of God in multiple circumstances. So, you know, I just want to encourage you this morning. His truth is the truth. The enemy's job, if you really want to sum up it, is kind of a simple thing. God is true, and the enemy's whole purpose, knowing that he has already lost, not as going to lose, but it is a losing battle because he's already lost. So the enemy's entire purpose for your life is to cloud your perspective of God's truth, is to distort God's truth, is to keep you from seeing or finding or locating or experiencing God's truth. And if you think about that for a second, that's an exhausting job, isn't it? All God has to do is just be himself. Like, he's just the truth. You can't do anything about it. He's the truth, the way, and the life, right? He just, no other man comes to, nobody comes to the Father but through him, right? He's just existing. And it's amazing if you really look at it in this whole thing, how small and insignificant the devil really is. And I think even the Bible talks about this, where it says, we're going to be amazed, or we're going to be surprised at really what he looks like, right? I mean, this is we're talking about something that we fear, or that has this like godlike almost, you know, equal, but he's not even close. And, you know, can I just tell you, the truth is he's lost. And if you can just think of it this way, it'll really kind of put it in perspective. God's just there. Like, if you just imagine Mike right here, God's like just, he's just there. You know what I mean? And like, and it's, the truth of the matter is I don't know if he does this, but he could do this and like take care of everything that he needs to. Like, in other words, I'm like, oh, I got to drink my coffee. I got to move my phone. I got to talk. I got to pull the mic closer to me. I got to push it away from me. I got to lean up. I got to look around. I got to read the notes. God's just there. And like, stuff's happening, you know, things are getting done, you know, things aren't breaking, you know, all this type of thing. And here's the thing, the enemy's scrambling. Look at this. He's scrambling around. He's having like sales meetings this morning with his demons, and like leadership meetings, and he's on like a Facebook Live, so to speak, all right, with the underworld, going, okay, all right, so where's my China demons? All right, where's the Southern United States? I need some Tampa demons. Where are you at? Okay, today. And he's assigning things. Listen, he's having them run around. I know this is a little, just go bear with me for a second. He's having them scramble around and run around just to try to stop you from seeing the truth, to distort it, to cloud it, to change your perspective, to get you to doubt it. Think about that. It's an exhausting job that ends up in a losing battle anyway. Think about that for a second, and that puts it in perspective. And God's just like, really? 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 You know what I mean? That's the comparison. Dumasani said a strategy meeting. Satan's got him on Monday.com. You know, he's slacking. he's slacking all the information to his team members.
You know, it's funny. I've always had these random thoughts about like what hell would ever be like. And not that I'm thinking about ever going there, but you think about what's heaven going to be like, and then you ultimately think what's the opposite of that going to be like. So you just explained all of that as if the devil doesn't know he's going to lose every single time. Mm-hmm. That has to be the worst hell in the world to have to live through, is you do all this exhaustive effort only to know that every single time you do this, no matter which way you change your plans, you're always going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's a great point. He already lost. Like, the battle's been won. There's no question in the enemy's mind that he's already lost because it's happened to him at this particular point. And that's a great way to look at it. And I guess, why are we talking about heaven and hell? I mean, that's some scary stuff, right? I mean, you know, we're talking about scary truth. And this weekend is a time frame where, you know, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about your trick or treat and all that kind of stuff. I'm not getting into any of that kind of stuff, but I'm saying in general, the base foundation of some of these timeframes and holidays, you know, the enemy, if he would have a day, you know, if he would have a time frame, you know, he would try to relish in whatever little bit he can. But I'm going to tell you that the scary truth for him is he's lost. It's scary truth for him, but it is alive and exciting and encouraging truth for you and I. And, you know, and even taking it down a little further, and I might get into some of the notes here. I know this is kind of a different slant, but, you know, after talking to a couple of people, I talked to someone last night, and, you know, they were asking me some questions, you know, just some things, you know, just, you know, why was it this way or why is it that way? And just some things and questioning, you know, individuals and so forth, and just questioning. And so I'm going to tell you that the coolest thing about this is that you can't stop the truth of God in his word. And I go back to, again, if you seek, you find, if you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you'll receive. And if you, and so I laid there, and then I was talking to my wife, and I just said, you know, something that's interesting. After this, I just said, you know, as much as I care, as much as you care, as much as someone cares, as much as you care about someone, you know, God cares that much more. God cares that much more. And if you want it in anyone's hands, it's the hands of the truth, the way, and the life. And I'm just going to encourage somebody today to let you know, regardless of the report you might have gotten, somebody might have gotten a report, you know, somebody close to us, you know, we prayed with, and, you know, just there's some medical kind of things that they're just wondering about, just things that maybe the enemy, because the enemy's trying to cloud, he tries to stir up. It doesn't mean that there's something real in your life that's going on. It doesn't mean that it's not real. It just means that the enemy takes and tries to pull away from the truth. It doesn't mean that you need to listen. There's some times where ministries and ministers and churches, and probably meaning good, probably good-hearted, good, well-meaning people that love God, that believe in the power of God. Sometimes they get out of balance, and sometimes even they can, you know, say things that, you know, that we grab onto, and sometimes they can, that can bring disappointment because, you know, because it's a man or it's a woman and it's human. But I'm gonna bring you back to the Word of God and just say that that God, if you seek Him, the truth is you'll find Him. And if you need answers and you seek Him, you'll find Him. And if you ask Him, He'll answer you. You'll receive if you ask. And if you knock, He'll open the door. And that's the thing that you can take to the bank. When it comes to God, His Word will not fail. And the Bible says His Word will not return void. It will accomplish not what you want it to accomplish, but if you line up your will with His will, then it'll be what you want. It'll just be His way. But it'll accomplish what He set forward for it to accomplish. But I can assure you that even His best is better than what your best could be for you. And I mean that sincerely. It's not just like a buzz phrase. It's not something I'm just trying I'm not just trying to encourage you. I'm trying to instill truth in you that His way is better than my way ever could have been. And so if I want the best for my life, right? I want to succeed in life, whatever success looks like. What I want to win in life, I want to have a good life. I want to see fruit in life. I want my children to be blessed in life. I want my children and their spouses and their future spouses and their children or their future children, my grandchildren. I want my great grandchildren. I want legacy, right? I want our business to grow. I want my employees to prosper. You know, I want those types of things. Can I just tell you that God wants those things too? And the reality is He knows how to get there and He knows how to do it. And He's got the answers. He is the truth. And if you are looking for success in life, what that looks like, then I'm going to challenge you that you can't get any better than turning it over to Him. You can't get any better than giving your life to Him and trusting Him with it. You know, and here's the deal. It'll be better than you could have imagined. Because Ephesians 3:20, and here's the truth for you. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him, okay, Him, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to His power that's at work in us. So we have a God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly. So He's able to do more, way more, okay, than we can ask or think according to His power that's working in us. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, that you know, seek the truth and you'll find the truth. And, you know, we're the Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this? We need to cultivate loyalty and love for God's truth, because for the Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit, confident, you know, in the identity of being a son or a daughter in Christ, the unraveling of society, you know, moral confusion, you know, dogmatic, you know, angry people that are insistent, you know, on loyalty to a narrative, you know, of self-destruction. You know, it's unthinkable, right, for us as believers, but the biblical Christian loyal to Jesus and His love and passion for the world, for the nations, right, is connected to the mandate to be salt and light. So it's, can I just tell you, I'm an American. I know we have other countries watching. I love this country, but not as much as I love Jesus, meaning it's a world thing. It's a Jesus died on the cross before America was around, you know. So I just want to point out, believers, that if you read the Bible, there's going to be some of these things that we see happening, and, you know, and we don't have to agree with them, but we don't have to receive them and accept them, and we need to make sure that we stand on the truths of God for our lives. But we also have to understand the truth of loving, And we're the salt and life, salt and light. Salt preserves, listen to this, salt preserves what if otherwise rot and spoilage would destroy. I'm going to say that again. Salt preserves what rot and spoilage would otherwise destroy. We're the salt, so we preserve. So listen, you need to preserve the truth, because the truth is the only thing that's going to set people free. So we get frustrated because we see a world that maybe as a whole is moving away from God, the spirit of Antichrist, which he said would come. And I know I'm getting a little deep here today, but just go with me. But listen, have a heart for it. But the salt is for, listen, I mean, you need to be reaching out to the individual. It's like, how do you do it? You do it one person at a time. You know, it's don't get frustrated because 1,000 people hated on your tweet. Reach out to the person at the cubicle next to you and be the salt. And then let their life change and let them reach out to the person next to them and be the salt. So salt preserves what rot and spoilage would otherwise destroy. The truth. Light, listen, you were light too. Light reveals, showing the neighborhoods of this earth, right? Your suburbs, your town, your city. Light reveals, showing the neighborhoods of this earth the beauty of God's truth as his love shines forth. So light exposes and it shows people the fruitlessness of sin that destroys. Because can I just say this? Sin destroys the believer and the unbeliever. Just listen, it'll take you as a believer and it'll hurt your life and it'll hurt your testimony if you fall back into, you know, ongoing sin. But can I tell you, think about your life before you found Jesus and what sin was doing to your life. What was sin doing to your life? The reason you needed Jesus is because sin was out of control in your life. So light exposes the fruitlessness of sin, because there's a void in everyone's life. They just don't know what direction to go. That's why they search anything and everything. That's why this guru can be the hottest new thing, and this trend, and this fad, and this enlightenment or whatever it is. But the reality is, sin is fruitlessness, and light exposes that. And so, can I just say this? A believer, I'm talking to believers here for a second, who has tasted and experienced the beauty of Jesus. Okay, you've tasted. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've tasted and experienced the beauty of Jesus, if you've experienced his, you know, restorative and renewing power, you're that Christian. Then you long for those who have not experienced that to enjoy God to the same measure that you have. I'm going to say it again. That's why some of the most dangerous people to the enemy are new believers, because their life just got transformed. And now they want their mama, their daddy, their kids, their aunts, their uncles, their brothers, their neighbors, their friends, their coworkers, all to experience it. But a Christian who's tasted and experienced that restorative power and renewing power, right? You want to see God do the same thing for other people. And I'm going to tell you, the best evangelism, right, flows from the life of the one who's known Jesus, you know, and, as a father, has experienced truth and the truth of his love and power. Amen. And, the Christian that clings to truth, you know, from a place of instability and fear is the one who rarely evangelizes. You're clinging to truth, you know, but grab a hold of it, right? And, this is good stuff. What do you guys think? I might have a comment. Do you got anything?
You just said something that's really hit me, like really, really hard. For stuff that I've been dealing with recently, when you said you're clinging on to the truth out of fear, not out of faith, that's been me. So that hit me really hard, especially recently. I've been clinging on to what I know out of fear of what's coming versus faith that God has my back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to hear. You didn't say it to me directly, but you said it to me directly, and it was hard to hear.
Hmm.
I guess that's kind of the premise of this whole series, is that's something that maybe somebody else needed to hear. You know, I know there was a comment earlier that said, if, you know, the devil knows he's going to lose, why is he always pulling me down? I'm tired of struggling.
Why is he what?
The devil knows he's going to lose, why is he always, you know, pursuing after us? And I'm tired, you know, I'm just tired of struggling. And it's, you know, clinging on to God when you're in fear and clinging onto that truth that God has your back out of fear versus out of faith makes all the difference in the world, because you're not relying on your faith. You're relying on your fear to keep you like there in that spot. And that's, I don't know, that just hit me really hard when you said that. That's why that was the best thing I could come up with.
Amen. Amen. And you know, in this last few minutes, maybe we'll switch over into some ministry, you know, but we'll kind of wind it down, I don't know what that comment was, and it really doesn't matter. But, you know, the reason, and I don't really think that person was necessarily asking why the devil's doing it, but that was the question. I think mainly that person, you know, you're struggling, and, you know, and that's what you're doing is, well, let me just say this. The answer to that question is really simple. He hates God. You know, he hates God. He hates himself, but he hates God and he hates good. And so he's just trying, you know, to do the one thing that he possibly can, and that is to try to take somebody with him, try to take somebody down, keep somebody from experiencing God's best. And, you know, but really, you know, the truth is, I believe that person and many people, you know, you're tired of, you know, you're tired of struggling. You're tired of, walking through things. I mean, look, we did a series a few weeks ago, and the Bible Plan, I think, goes live on Monday. This Monday, make sure you read it on YouVersion Bible app, or you can go to Bible.com. I'm really saying get this. This is probably going to be my favorite, and I'm actually going to be turning it into a book. We're going to start writing that here, but it's what to do when you want to quit. And I added something just to make you feel better. Whoever said that comment and anybody else that's listening, you know, maybe you're in a leadership position, you know, what to do when you want to quit is the Bible Plan. That was the podcast, and that's going to be the book as well. But then I'm adding a chapter probably. I was thinking about making it the book, but I'm adding a chapter because I want this to apply to everybody. But the chapter is going to say what to do when you want to quit and you're the leader. And it's so I'm going to tell you in this season, and it's, I believe it's because the spirit of Antichrist is in this world. I believe that, that, you know, things are wrapping up, whether that time is 100 years or 100 days. I don't know, but it's the Bible talks about it. And I think the enemy knows this time is short. And I think that people in general, whether it's something that is major or minor, things that you're going through your life, we're experiencing frustrations. And I'm going to encourage you that the truth is what God says in his word about all of that. Like, you know, the Ephesians 3:20, that's truth you can cling to, that, you know, unto him who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to his power that's at work in you. How do you apply that? You know, God, your word says that you're able to do more than what I think and what I ask. And you know, God, I'm not at a place where I can even ask anymore. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. But there's your truth. It says that even if I think it, well, you know my thoughts. It's like have this conversation with God. You know, vent on him. He can handle it. You know, truth is, you know, if you're struggling, you know, in an area, you could financially look at scriptures and you can go in and say, you know, God, you know where I'm at. And you said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. God, I'm broke, but you're rich. God, I don't have, but you have. You can say that, and you could, you know, if that's where you are, or I don't have enough, but God, you have more than enough. And it's not just, but remind him of what he said. He wants you to engage your faith with his truth. He wants you to engage in his truth. And the thing about it, the enemy can't deal with that. Like it sends a death blow to the enemy. You know, I was talking to our VP of sales here, and I actually used it yesterday morning in the small group I was in for the first time. And publicly, I gave a little bit of a certain testimony because of the subject matter in the room with men. And I gave a little bit of a personal testimony. and my pastor texted me, and then a couple of people mentioned to me in the room as well that it touched them. And it was weird because that really spoke to some men. And then I had an email from someone that asked me, you know, hey, would you consider getting together and breaking bread? And that really touched me. And it was just interesting because I just shared something that I've really never shared in the setting. But then we were talking to my VP of sales yesterday, and he and I were talking about this, and he mentioned something with his family or something that his son gave a testimony and, you know, in youth and so forth. And it hit me, the scripture in Revelations. And I'm going to kind of wrap it up with this. It hit me with the scripture in Revelations that says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let me just say this. If you are saved, if you have ever asked Jesus into your heart and you've asked him to be your Lord and Savior, then you are saved and the blood of the Lamb has began making you an overcomer. It saved you. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven just as much as Billy Graham was. You know what I mean? And it didn't matter what you did yesterday. If you're saved, you're saved. So the blood of the Lamb, which is the only thing that can wash your sins. But then it goes on to say, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you know, it hit me in two different occasions through talking to Josh and then talking to these individuals that the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And, you know, my wife has had many conversations with me about that as well in this season, especially, one of the things that this person said is, you know, I know you said, talking about me, because I said I'm not a one-on-one person a lot. And they said that, and they said, but would you consider? And then a couple of times somebody else has reached out, and I'm on my way a week from Monday to have my second coffee with this person. I'm not a one-on-one person. And then another person about a month ago in the same group reached out. So the third time for three reasons. And so I guess God's making me a one-on-one person. My wife has challenged me recently about that in this season. She goes, you know, you've done a lot of things and maybe God's speaking to you to stretch yourself. And anyway, we got to wrap this up, but I want to say this, the testimony, the testimony is part of that because it's truth. It's truth. The enemy can't take that away from you. Hear me. If you're struggling right now in your thoughts, but God delivered you from something, can I tell you the enemy can never take that testimony away from you. So go back to that testimony and you shove it right in the enemy's face. And by telling somebody about it, open your mouth, no matter how you feel. And you say, hey, this is what God's done for me. And you will be made an overcomer by the word of your testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Great series.
Thank you all for tuning in. Before we get into the final wrap-up, I just want to make the quick announcement. Next week, we know you guys love being with us and always having the podcast, but next week we are taking a week off. Dave, myself, Ezra, and David Blaisdell are actually going to be taking a road trip up to Pennsylvania for 3 days, so we were going to take the week off from doing the podcast. Also, it's kind of a good reset for us doing this, you know, 5 days a week, every day. It's like, sometimes you just need a reset. So next week, we will take the week off. We will be back the following week. The title for that series is going to be Seasons Change. So hopefully you guys can enjoy a week away. If you guys, you know, keep tuned into social media, because we will be posting stuff on the road while we're out there. Dave will probably be doing like meeting, maybe some, you know, just some encouraging things throughout the day. So make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all those. We'll be posting stuff all week long. But thank you all for tuning in today. We hope you guys enjoyed this series on the scary truth. If you guys would like, we have a daily encouragement text that goes out every single morning at 8:30 a.m. EST. You can text the letters EZGC to 813-522-3356. It is completely free to opt in to that. To everybody that joins us live, thank you so much for being with us. We always appreciate you guys being here. Your words of encouragement, your emojis, everything always means the world to us. But if you guys can't make the live streams, you can always keep up with us in two ways. Number one, you can go to YouTube and search Game Changer Podcast Live and hit the subscribe button and the bell so you get notified when we upload each day's episode onto YouTube. You can also keep up with us on your favorite audio podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts are the biggest ones that we upload to. Make sure you subscribe to us on whichever one you use the most. If you're listening or watching this episode on replay, you guys can join us live every single morning at 8:30 a.m. EST on Facebook and YouTube Live. Just search Game Changer Podcast Live and we will come up in your feed. Check out the featured Bible plan of the week, which is He Said, She Said, He Says. It's a 5-day plan on YouVersion and the Bible app. Make sure you guys read it, subscribe to it, and then let us know what you think. Also, next week launches, as Dave mentioned earlier, since we aren't doing the podcast next week we launch our newest one, which is What to Do When You Want to Quit. So make sure you guys stay tuned for for that. We'll post about it and make sure you guys subscribe and read to it. But thank you all for listening. We hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Stay safe out there with trick-or-treating. Have fun. But on that note,
we out. Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to connect further, check out the David Villa's Game Changer group on Facebook. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Game Changer.